Damaged Goods Podcast.
If you were a pirate, would you be like a swashbuckling, like robbing other dude's shit, or would you be like more of an explorer? Or what would your pirate style be?
Oh, being that it's in your lineage. You're saying hypothetically.
Yeah, yeah. Are you a pirate? Oh, we're on, baby.
We're on.
It's in your bloodline, dude, so that's why I ask.
Yeah. I'm probably just a, not just descendant, maybe even reincarnated, but...
Ooh.
The thing about...
Very Buddhist.
Or even Christian. But, but yeah, no, if I had to be a pirate, or if it were like pirate season or pirate...
If I had to be...
Yeah, if I were in the Union or something for pirates, then yeah, maybe I wouldn't be so much of a plunderer, I don't think.
What's plundering? Is that the stealing?
I think so. I think it's like looting, like robbing.
Pillaging, right?
Yeah. I think pillaging is more like other forcible bullshit, which I wouldn't be a fan
You'd be
of
like
either.
A cooler pirate.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, like, what qualifies as a pirate? You have to be from Somalia.
Well,
I mean,
not well nowadays. It wasn't like not part of the army, right? Probably like illegal action, I guess, not sanctioned by a country or a state, right? Maybe a wooden leg, a cool saber, possibly a saber. Those like triangle hat, a cutlass. Yes.
Yeah.
Wow. Yes. Not the car.
I mean, like I know some
scurvy.
Knot. I know how to tie some knots. I need to learn more. I do stage rigging and stuff like that, similar to boat rigging, I guess. But yeah, you know, technically, my relative wasn't actually a pirate. He was hanged as a pirate. He was like
got framed.
He was set up, you could say, yeah.
Ooh, wow.
But,
mystery.
He was actually a privateer to begin with.
What's that?
It means like a private contractor, like independent contractor.
But he was like an independent pirate contractor. Like,
yeah.
We'll pay you to go pillage or plunder.
He was basically the pirate hunter. He was the guy who would
bounty hunter for pirates.
Yeah, so he probably got set up
That's a sketchy job, too,
after, yeah, like setting up a bunch
of
pirates.
They hired him to go get them, and then when he did, they wanted to cover their tracks. Boom, let's frame him, kill him.
Yeah, or like the state or the government in like a new locale, like New England, is like, hey, you know what, we need to get rid of all these
pirates,
people are coming
Goddamn
back and forth.
Puritans.
So why don't you like create the McCarthy fucking files or whatever the hell it is. You know, like make your own list.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that came back to bite him in the ass. It's almost what we're dealing with now, where it's like you can point the finger as much as you can until you're looking in the mirror and you got to point at yourself.
Well said, dude. Very poetic. That poetic pirate voice is a damaged goods alum, dude. A very hilarious gentleman, my man Scott Kidd, back in the house, the apartment.
Yeah, it's
the
always
studio.
It's always a pleasure to interrupt you. You know,
oh, I love it. No,
times.
I like need the interruption, dude. It's good for me. The ADD, I'm like interrupting myself left and right, so it's great, fantastic.
Speaking of pirates, I've been playing emulators like crazy.
What is that?
Like old Nintendo games on like an Android, basically.
Oh shit!
So I found that you can get like an Android app that'll have like a Nintendo emulator. And then if you have like old ROMs from the fucking...
Oh, so emulator's not a game.
Emulator is the console.
I'm super stupid with shit like that. It's
and,
super stupid. Because
it's emulating the console.
Ah. So what's the pirate games?
There's one called Pirates. And it's...
Hilarious.
I wasn't able to get too far because like first you're sword fighting, then you're like reading, then you're looking at artwork, then you're
reading.
Like... Yeah, because a lot of these games... Back in the day, you just had to read while like 8-bit music was like
Zelda.
Dee, 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 dee.
I like those tunes. Great.
So I just turned the music down. I put on like a podcast or something or music of my own, and then I'll play a game while I'm like waiting to pick up McDonald's for DoorDash for some customer, and like I'm like in the drive-through for like half an hour.
Serious drive-through, dude.
Yeah,
shit.
Yeah. Like 2 a.m. You know, everybody's trying
True.
To get McDonald's because it's like the only thing open.
It's
so
like
I'm
a
like,
person working.
So if I'm not playing Street Fighter or like Punch Out or something, I'm just trying to find out how many new things on this list of games that I have that are decent.
Wow.
And Pirates, I have to say, I quit pretty early.
Yo, it's so funny that that's the name. Like nowadays, they have like, you know, creative names for all the games. Back then, it's like wrestling, shooting, you know?
Yeah, boxing for Atari.
Yeah. Ninja shit. Although I did like, what was it? Not Ninja Gaiden. That was Genesis, I think.
It was probably on that too, but yeah, Nintendo had Ninja Gaiden.
Yeah, Ninja.
Or Gaiden, as we
super cool. As a kid, ninjas were the coolest ever.
Yeah, I mean, it was basically, it's almost like William Wallace or something. There's like this breed of human soldiers or Navy SEAL types or, you know, like Chuck Norris's or
whatever. I just rewatched Braveheart on the plane the other day. I hadn't seen it in years. And, you know, when you're on a plane watching a movie, you could be watching some silly little PG shit or some violent shit or sex scenes. And I always find myself looking. I have my own movie on, but I always kind of glance over at someone else's. Sure. I can't hear what the fucking shit's right. playing, but I still want to see. And yeah. I wonder, you know, there's like, you know, people get beheaded, but I watched some other movie with like a pretty serious sex scene. Mm-hmm. What it was like some little like kid going through puberty, like three rows back, peering in, catching that.
Yeah, and you're watching Desperado and yeah. Selma Hayek.
Tough, tough shit, dude. Fucking, yeah. Keep your eyes on your own screen. Yeah.
Yeah, that's why you got to get one of those screen protectors that also puts a tent on it from the angle.
Oh, dude, you got all the tricks, bro.
I don't use that because I just put on Groundhog's Day and whenever I'm on a plane.
I actually almost chose that. There was really? A real shit selection. Anything that was good I'd already seen recently, mm-hmm. but they had Groundhog Day. I was like, maybe I'll do it. But it was PG. Huh. So I saw it forever ago, and I have this thing. I'm like worried about comedies that are like PG or under.
Why?
Is it going to actually be funny? School of Rock, PG, great flick. Laugh my ass off. Every
yeah, but
time.
That's a kid's movie.
But it's still funny.
Groundhog Day is a
but it's
like a
I just
Harold
feel like the limitation
Ramis,
of PG keeps certain jokes out, content, and words. And I'm like, is it going to be good? Are they going to dance around shit?
The good thing about PG movies that are for adults is that you can play it in an office setting and still have a movie on while you're working. So
I guess I'm never in an office
Groundhog setting. Day, he says, you know, these are the really good signs of these are the signs of a really good producer. And then Andy McDowell or whatever is like,
oh, yes.
Anything I can do to help? And then Bill Murray says, you think you could fix my pelvic tilt? And she's like, within reason. He's like, okay.
She's very like late 80s, early 90s.
Actress. Right, but very graceful and southern in a way. And he's like snarky and sarcastic, but he still has to survive. And he's still the guy who's the specialist and good enough to have all these jobs. Meteorologist, freaking psychologist.
What a great job, dude. What a great job. Meteorologist.
You know, like, or Ghostbuster or whatever.
Yeah, that's true.
And he's still getting tail the whole time, allegedly,
nice.
You know?
Yeah.
Even when he played Hunter S. Thompson, supposedly.
Yeah, what was Where the Buffalo Roam.
Right, with Peter Boyle. But
yeah, I love Peter Boyle.
I don't know if he got laid in that movie, I forget. But but my point was just PG, don't be mistaken, because I was able to bring Monty Python's Holy Grail to high school.
That's for my PG?
For my English class. Cause they
all the squirting blood still
they
PG?
They mistakenly rated it PG. Oh, it might even been rated G.
No way. That's crazy.
Because of how old it was before the rating system came out.
Oh, yeah.
But also, it's comedy. They might have fucking figured that out for themselves.
What do you think about clean comics as a comedian yourself?
I think it's tough. I think it's like, like being a GM or CEO or something. Or I mean, I guess in that regard, sure, that's like an extreme thing to be. But like, imagine like a normal career, like, you have to kind of be a clean comic for a normal, like to be like everybody's boss.
Yeah.
You can't be like, fuck you, fuck you, fuck you. Oh yeah, by the way, today's list says everybody's a pussy bitch. You know, you got to be like really chill.
I feel like clean comics is probably a lot less, but the fans who strictly want that, they're going to be real loyal. You're going to have like almost like a niche fan base that's going to keep coming back, you know. But I do agree it's limiting.
I think it's limiting to the comic, but it's opening to the audience, because it's like, if I'm a parent, which I'm not, but let's say I have I'm a parent with a career and whatnot, I want to be able to unwind and not have to worry about everything at the end of the day. So if I can put on something that I know is going to be safe for everybody.
Oh, like at the crib, at home.
Yeah. But still good.
Yeah.
Or even if I'm at Disneyland or some dumb shit, which I don't plan on going there.
Please
but,
don't go.
I've never been. But anyway, I'm just saying it's a guarantee in a way, because this person has proven that they can do it gracefully. Kind of like if you ever watched Night Court.
Oh, y'all loved it.
John Larroquette's character was like the scoundrel.
Yeah.
But somehow he's able to be it every week.
But I feel like like sitcoms on network TV, that's the parameters, that's the realm. So even like Seinfeld, like Larry David, when he was writing that, he'd have some jokes that you could see if it was on Curb, it would be a little more explicit, but you got to work within that boundary. So
I would recommend checking out Canadian comedians. Maybe you'll see some Canadian sketch comedy that
What was it, Kids in the Hall or
Some guys I'm cool with, like Jason Rouse, or there's a guy named John Doerr who he has this one sketch he posted on Instagram where there's this old lady sticking her head out a window like, "John, where you going, John?" And he's like, I gotta go, I gotta do this thing. "Wait, John, wait." And he's like, "Hold on, I gotta go." You know, whatever he was doing, he was leaving. And she's just like, "Wait." And she leans out the freaking window and just falls out the window. But then surprisingly impales herself on one of her garden gnomes and just bleeding everywhere. And it's
kind of hilarious.
That's crazy what that about I was on.
Within the comedy community, do you feel like the majority of comedians who are not clean, they'll be like, "Oh, that person's good for a clean comic," or they'll respect it on paper, like in an interview here and there, but they don't truly either enjoy it or respect it for real in their own life because they do the full fucking menu. You know what I mean?
Well, if you're live and you're at a venue where it's an adults only, you're allowed to do whatever the fuck you want. Clean comedy is generally so you can do stuff that's around in my experience, as far as I can tell. I mean, sure, there will be shows where you're just performing for adults and doing clean comedy, but that's almost like its own advertisement.
But you think like a Bill Burr respects, quote unquote, a Jim Gaffigan, but doesn't truly love all his shit or so? Maybe those are bad examples, but you know what I'm saying.
Those are strong examples.
Yeah.
So Bill Burr, sure, he has his own TV show or whatever, or he had his own Netflix show where he got to curse all the time.
The cartoon.
But
right?
When he was on Chappelle, he was able to be funny.
That's
without,
true, yeah,
you know
that's
I mean?
True. Good point.
But
good
also,
point.
Gaffigan, he's not just a good writer and performer, but he's a great
dramatic shit,
he's
dude.
A great actor.
Like darker shit.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure which thing you're referencing, but... But yeah, I've seen him, even on that 70s show or whatever. But yeah, I think it's about how good are you at performing, even you or I, if we're doing a podcast or we're doing our own, recording and stuff. There's there's a certain performance that has to happen. And really, when you, if you think about it, the times that you curse or say something crazy, it's almost like a release for you. So if you were really trying to mind your words or narrate something or get a point across, you probably wouldn't have to curse because you're trying to focus on the issue. If you were feeling sporadic or you're feeling flustered or you're feeling, pressured or offended, you feel like you're on the defensive, you might curse just to be like, "Fucking A," what the fuck are you talking about? What is this? It's more of a disconnect. And I think that's the reason why, family stuff, it's more of a connected vibe. They want to feel like everybody can be included.
Yeah.
And a cursing thing's more of getting away with something, or it's like drinking or smoking is something that adults do. So it's you kind of have to do it away from the kids. It's almost like a late night or closed
door
thing.
You'd hope they would do it away from the kids.
That's like a crazy juggle that we're all dealing with right now. But yeah, when I was a kid, I saw RoboCop when I was
violent.
Three.
RoboCop 2, super violent.
The first one, the dude gets shot in the dick through the lady's dress.
That's the classic shit.
I drew that as a little kid, just remembering seeing it. I drew that and I drew Ghostbusters and stuff, but there's some sketch pad of mine somewhere lying around somewhere with RoboCop shooting a dude in the dick through a lady's dress.
I definitely saw a lot of rated R flicks early. There wasn't a lot of screen about what was getting watched at my crib. In fact, there was times The Fly is on and I'm six, or Aliens, the second one, Terminator 2, I'm super young. So I kind of didn't watch a lot of Disney movies, And also I would hear language and think, "Oh, like Iron Eagle. This isn't a swear that I'm in my friend's mother's car on the way to school and I quote the kid in Iron Eagle. I say the word bastard. She looks at me all crazy,
So R.I.P. by the way.
Louis Gossett Jr. just passed him.
I know he's in that movie. Never seen it. It sounds more like a Nintendo game.
If you're
honestly
10, it's cool. If you're 10 and you think like, you know, fighter jets are cool. If you're older, it's not. And they made like 4 of them, which is nuts.
Yeah, that is crazy. My Louis Gossett Jr. references are Officer and a Gentleman.
Yeah, that's his big hit. That's probably his bigger hit.
And then Enemy Mine. You ever seen that one?
What's that?
You gotta do that homework for yourself. It's a really cool philosophical movie.
I dig that.
I'll get back to it in a second. And the other one I think is The Punisher with Dolph Lundgren.
Okay, we gotta hit this tangent. All right, comic book fan, huge comic book kid. Those other two Punisher movies I would never watch if you had a gun in my mother's head. Right? I like the Netflix one with Homeboy. The Dolph Lundgren one was so ill. He drives through the fucking sewers on the motorcycle. The Italian mafia uses him to get their kids back who got kidnapped by the Yakuza. So good. Can't fucking find that shit anywhere. You got to buy like a DVD from goddamn Australia.
Just follow my YouTube.
Bro, I love it.
Just follow my YouTube.
You have
I have a playlist. It should be on my playlist. I'll double check.
Scott Kidd, save him a day, bro. So good.
Oh,
that's
man.
A great
if they
one.
Took that
underrated,
off, I'll be
bro.
So
Dolph
upset.
Dolph Lundgren dyed his hair black.
Yeah. And
only
downside of the movie, unless you're a chick or whatever into it, is that he gets naked. I mean, he's like.
Does he?
He's like naked in the fucking sewers.
Like genitals?
Like buttocks and meditation in the sewer.
There was a lot of like 80s, like Van Damme would show buttocks. That was a thing. You know?
That's got to be some gatekeepers. Stuff.
Yeah, like right.
Guy, I'll find my playlist later. But anyway, I think I'm Devo Kid on YouTube.
Follow his YouTube. Subscribe.
Yeah, I need subscribers so I can get back to streaming. They won't let me stream without enough subscribers.
Really?
Well, yeah, I'm a slacker.
YouTube has got the craziest little fucking rules and regulations. You can't say certain words, which is nuts. Even if you're saying this is bad, like drugs are bad, you got to say D-rugs or
RX.
You can't say murdered. You got to say unalived. It's nuts. Yeah. Even if you're saying this person got murdered, it was terrible. It's crazy, dude. YouTube is nuts, dude.
Until you get shadow banned, then you can say whatever you want.
Dude, I'm banned from Facebook and actually DoorDash.
You're
hilarious.
Banned from
Facebook? I got kicked off and banned, violated community standards, didn't say why, didn't show the post. That was about 2 years ago. And then DoorDash, I'm like blocked out of there. Postmates, all good.
What'd you do? What do you mean, working for them? Or
no, fucking ordering? Buying food from there. Yeah, it's weird as fuck. It won't let me get an account. I can't sign some other one. Can't do a new one. It's nuts. It's weird. I tip. I'm cool.
You see, in my opinion, that's an example of social credit score shit.
Yeah, and that shit's real.
You literally have a rating.
Yeah.
And then you also have penalties and almost zero... justice system. Like there's almost no
can't contest it.
You can, but you have to be diligent. You have to literally screen shoot everything.
Yeah. I mean, my Facebook shit, somebody could have been just like reporting my shit. I don't post no crazy shit there. I do the same shit I do on Instagram, Twitter to, you know, promote my work, whatever, a podcast, book shit. Funny memes. No political shit. I'm not attacking nobody. I don't respond to comments. But someone who just don't like me or just doesn't like something could go and report me, and I really have no fucking stake in it. I can't really do shit. It's crazy.
It's the tattletale society we live in. And the fucked up thing is, whenever I worked for one comedy club, which I won't say which, but they had this board that said, we protect whistleblowers. And I saw it every day when
Obama said before fucking Snowden had
right,
to go to
exactly.
Russia.
Right, exactly. And I did a sketch around the, you know, a year or two before where I was Snowden. And it was a goofy sketch or whatever. Bad News Weekly. Check it out. I would put on a freaking uniform every day. I saw a freaking sign that said whistleblowers are protected.
What does that mean in a comedy club, though?
I mean, like, what? I was basically being sexually harassed by, like, multiple people, aggressively, passively.
That's what someone else
concerned. I was being sexually harassed.
Damn.
And I confronted my company about it.
Damn.
And they tried to make a big deal out of it without actually, like, trying to, like, go through the process of solving it. It was more like putting me on blast, and it ended up making me
that's crazy.
Like a target. And then like they started cutting my hours, and they started like shunning me and stuff. They like would make new rules to where I couldn't do stage time.
Why do you think they were not
because
taking the right course of action?
It's like I'm a sculptor in a way, right? I'm a creator or whatever. But I started to see that there was a solution or a problem that needed to be solved. So my natural instincts were to solve something. And they were like, wait a second, guy.
It makes them look bad.
We don't want to have you be the guy, you know, and not just me, but also we don't need to put any kind of press or light. We don't even want you to get close to talking to somebody about this. And that's why, out of respect for me and my own career and the people I do actually value, I won't fucking say, because it's not, it doesn't serve me to.
Yeah, then that's not what you're about. You're not about some.
No, vengeance. I literally try to be a problem solver, and the things I've had to deal with along that path in my past are ridiculous. Like dating a woman who had a lot of issues because I thought I could solve them all. You know what I mean? Yeah. And then like me being caught up in her shit and never living my life. And the next thing you know, I'm leaning too far to make the bridge for her gap. And then now I'm the piece of shit that anybody can roll over, you know? So it's like,
so they flipped it on you with the club kind of.
Well, it was like inadvertently stretching out so far that you're reaching, you know what I mean? And at that point, you're not capable of pulling or pushing, you know, you're basically just too far along. But I mean, I was still like a valued member as far as production. I was still a valued member as far as like getting things accomplished or wrangling 600 people a night, you know, because we had audiences and crowds. Or even dealing with people like Dane Cook or something.
But they kind of hilarious. Massachusetts right there. Arlington, Mass, right outside of Boston. Arlington's a...
also, if
you're dry town.
If you're a Boston guy, check out Mike Favorman. He's a Mike friend Favorman. Of mine.
All right, shit, I'll check him out. I like. I always like to know like the new comics, musicians,
he's
whatever.
He's a long train running. He's been past the store since the fucking...
Oh, shit. All right. He's out here?
He's now in Vegas, but he's from Boston. He was out here for years. He took me under his wing and helped me.
Oh, that's dope.
You know, years ago, like 10 years ago or so.
Hell yeah.
And I just, you know, I feel like I got his back if he ever deals with turmoil, which we all do.
Hell yeah. Oh, yeah. You got to have those friends, those loyal motherfuckers.
But whenever I was dealing with clubs that were like shunning me or even the scene shunning me, it's the same thing as politics. Everybody's going to turn their back on you because you got the stink.
Yeah, they don't want to get that dirt on them. And also it makes everybody look safe or no spotlight on them if they could isolate you and push you out. And
it just makes them look like they're in control or they're doing the right thing by being against you.
And not firing you as much as making you leave.
They tried to make me quit. And so what I did was I literally posted someone on Facebook that said, hey, you guys think I should look for another job? I kind of, you know, I haven't had work. They keep telling me not
tag
to
tag them.
Then I put a fucking post that said, no remorse, no repent. My employers don't
Slayer lyrics.
My employers don't care what it meant. And then I put the tag of the song it actually was from.
Oh, what is it?
Kill 'em All's No Remorse from Metallica. Yeah. Right, but they said, so it's like a Facebook post, words on it, then a YouTube link with the picture of the album. The album says Kill 'Em All.
They're taking that personal.
They said, you said you're going to kill all your employers.
Oh, yeah.
Now you're fired.
You said the K word, dude. Unalive them. You got to unalive them.
And I tried to, and you I did. Yeah, exactly. Like that, and I didn't say the K word. I posted the K word. But,
It's a song that somebody else wrote.
Right. So, but I mean, granted, I don't really care for Metallica too much these days, but but also, and more so because of that, but also, it was my fault for fucking getting too into it. I should have been focused more on writing. I should have been focused
like dealing with
the whole situation.
No. But but you're getting that's a fucked up situation to have to be in. It's not like you're trying to get too into it. It's like, how do I not have this happen to me?
Let me ask you this.
I can't work. I can't write as well.
If you work for Taco Bell and you plan to do it for like a year or two, and then you go down this rabbit hole of fighting Taco Bell.
You're exhausted, right? Yeah.
You may never eat Taco Bell again, but you also, you know, may ruin your chance of working for any other part of the young.
You also didn't focus on your craft. Your sore gets duller and you're burnt out, exhausted mentally, physically, spiritually. Yeah, I get it.
You're broken.
Sometimes it sucks. You got to take one on your chin, and it sucks. Because I think naturally we all kind of have this feeling like if there's something wrong, unjust, we want to fight it. You know, we don't want to go down getting screwed or played out. And I think you want to be that Punisher and have vengeance. But you want to make it right, you know?
I mean, in all fairness, Punisher's just Batman with less money, more military training.
No, because Batman don't kill people. Punisher loves to murder him some motherfuckers.
Good point. My bad.
And also, actually, Marvel, they just ended there's a goddamn fly. What the fuck? They just ended the Punisher comics, dude. They stopped making Punisher. I feel like they killed him off.
They had him in the future.
they unalived them.
They had
the 2099.
Yeah, so yeah. I mean, they can always go back.
That's
they,
true.
Multiple
yeah,
dimensions.
They do whatever they want.
There's
yeah,
a
right.
gay Green Lantern out there. So I mean, what were we saying right before Punisher? Now, oh, so like yeah, I dealt with that, and I had to kind of like suck it up, and I still had to show face, and I was like, not.
That's a hard aspect.
I'm not about to leave because of that. You know, I didn't move. That was like 7 years ago or something. I mean,
so yeah, you've definitely like came back from that, dude.
8 years
ago. 8 years ago, you came back from that shit though. Like
more or less, but it's like, you know, it's how do you explain it? It's like being able to take baby steps up a small staircase to like having to take long strides up a giant, you know, Anunnaki staircase or some shit. Like
set you back on a larger scale because
of deflated my ego like crazy.
But outside of that, like not like you were blackballed, but you felt like it hindered your progress or getting ahead on other levels because of that experience or because of maybe what they said.
It made me feel like because when I got the opportunity, I felt really excited that this was gonna help motivate and fuel me, and then I got a little too comfortable in the living in the now, like being in a relationship.
That's
you
right.
know,
don't
like,
live in the now. Stress about the fucking future,
yeah, yeah,
and
yeah.
regret the past.
yeah,
yeah
no, I know that's opposite of what people are trained to believe and feel, but it's like for someone who's a creative, you kind of have to have a schedule. You kind of have to have a timeline, and every day's got to be like a grind at it,
yeah.
and. If you don't have the motivation or the, what do you call it? Not the fuel, but the elevation, like the transport, you know, like
yeah.
for me, it was at one point riding a bicycle to work every day for 20 minutes, but sometimes taking a $20 taxi to work just
yeah.
because I'm trying to get there and,
yeah.
you know, like not being the richest looking guy there, but trying to be the best at what I do and still increase my learning curve on everything else and then still meet celebrities on a regular. Like I met so many people throughout it and I wouldn't be like awestruck. I'd be like, hey, what's a good question to ask this person that can help me in the future and just let it
yeah,
be that.
That's smart. Trying to get the most out of you know, somebody else's experiences. Yeah.
Yeah. So I can kind of cut, you know, shortcut in a way,
yeah.
even though there's no real shortcuts. It's like, what do they do? It's
yeah.
like almost like aging tequila or something, learning how to make it a little bit better. Cause
yeah.
it's already something.
You know, you've got great metaphors or similes and analogies, bro. Incredible.
I live in a world of imagery and, you know, audibility because I'm like an auditory learner, but I also like art and visual
yeah.
representation. I've also had a lot of fun partying over the years and trying to find out what does it mean to be cool, what does it mean to be liked, or what does it mean to be accepted, or just who can I hang out with and get along with? Like, can I go to jail and still get along with the people there? Can I work in the government and still get along with those people? Can I work in a hospital? And it's like the answer is yes, I can get along with everybody.
What does it mean to be cool?
It means to be
to
like,
you, at least.
Like for me, it means to be able to take a deep breath and be okay with the fact that you're gonna spaz at some point.
Oh, yeah.
And you just got to know when it's okay to spaz. Because everybody needs to spaz at some point. And it's fucked up. You can't even say the word.
You're telling me, dude.
I can't even say spaz.
I have. You can't? What's wrong with that?
I mean, I can.
But why? Why we're not allowed to say spaz?
Because it's an offensive
language. Dude, my nickname when I was like 12, I have like, I'm a pretty cool guy, it may seem, but I have a bad temper. Right? I inherited that shit. Family heirloom, genetics, whatever. My last name is Fraczek, Polish. Hard to say. Nobody can fucking say that shit.
How do you say it?
Fraczek. But it looks like
Fresnek.
They'll fuck it all up.
Fresnek or something.
Kids in sixth
grade.
Say
it one more time.
Fraczek.
Fraczek?
Yeah. They would call me Spazwick. Sort of rhymes, but I had this temper. And they would call me that all the time. But yeah, I definitely spaz. You got to just learn when to spaz, maybe when not to, or try to spaz so it doesn't fuck your whole shit up. You know? Or spaz, and then you feel guilty. Like, oh, fuck, that was terrible.
So your name means French Caesar, basically?
Nah, it's just like Polish shit. Like, it actually, I guess, derives from another Polish version of the name Francis.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, Catholic shit. Mm-hmm. Catholic, yeah. Jakub Joseph Fraczek. So Jacob Joseph Fraczek, all just like fucking Bible dudes, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, words and names change over time. It's like people have accents, like we were talking about earlier. You know, you have accents based off of what you're around. You
yeah.
know, a lot of people in the South who are like around, like, you know, pigs or whatever may sound like a pig, you know, if you're around goats or whatever. If you're around, like, just a bunch of traffic and horns and sirens, you might be like, hey, hey, yeah. You know what I mean? So, like, so if you're in the woods or if you're in, like, some Baltic area or if you're in, like, a cold climate, your voice might change based off of that, you know? I moved to California for a number of reasons, but one of them was because my joints used to hurt all the time in the South. And my accent wasn't really Southern ever.
Yeah, like, I don't feel like a lot of people would assume you're from Louisiana.
Yeah, my mom was a school teacher.
Dude, there's a lot of people I know born and raised in Boston with none of that accent shit. It doesn't matter.
I mean, I can do it. I can talk like this. I mean, I can. It's not my accent. It's my grandfather's accent. But I mean, like, I could do the other side of the family where they talk like these. You know, it's like it sounds like a bullfrog choking on his own tongue.
French Canadian Cajun.
Right yeah, there. Yeah. It's like I'm almost Native American, but I like kind of from Haiti or something.
Have you ever used a fake non-English accent to get out of having to like speak to somebody like?
Yeah, of course. English type shit? Yeah. I do that all the time. That's with great. Fucking collect call. You know, like any kind of phone number I don't recognize is like hello.
Yeah,
hello?
I use like a very bad like Slavic Eastern European accent sometimes. But yeah,
what's that sound like?
Oh, God, please don't put me on the spot.
How about that?
I'm terrible with it.
Hello, this is CNC Financial. We're just calling to talk to Jacob Fracker.
I could do like a shitty FM radio DJ voice.
No, but how do you answer the call? They're like,
oh, if it's the scam call, I answer a little different. I go, hello, which is an ambiguous accent. Is it Chinese, Russian, whatever? Because I don't fucking, I want to hear what they're going to say. You know?
Yeah.
You know? But I got a strip club DJ voice when I did that. I never was an FM radio DJ, but I love make fun of those like classic rock DJ voices, which are probably going out, getting extinct, which is a bummer.
Bullshit.
Yeah, it's terrible. So sad.
That's like saying records are going out of style.
Well, not going out of style, but I feel like less people are listening to that shit compared to like, you know, whatever. But yeah, they got a great one. The old guys are...
I disagree, but that's okay.
That's good. No, I don't want them to go out of style. I want that shit to thrive.
AM radio is still going to be around as long as...
FM or AM? AM is like the talk.
AM radio will still be around as long as amplitude is measured. And frequency will be around just as much. So FM is going to be around just as much as people make dual-layered tracks because... You can't really go through the middle of nowhere, drive through that's somewhere.
Sure, the satellite radio's out. Your Wi-Fi is gone.
AM radio is like the only thing you can catch.
Yeah.
You know, like this is one of the only things I believe about the moon launch or whatever is
the
that
landing?
Well they were
the
able
Stanley
to
Kubrick fake landing.
Whatever. I mean, we're all like conditioned and given margarine about this whole situation. But the one thing is AM radio is the one thing that makes me believe in their process. So that you can still contact. On a long single band because it's such a big band that you can hear it in the mountains fucking miles and miles away, especially no clouds or whatever. Yeah. So like if I'm middle of nowhere and I hit seek on my radio in my car, it just flash forward. It's like the flash is running through my freaking channels. And then if I go to AM, it's like, it's like an alarm clock or some shit.
That's hilarious.
But I love AM because it's talk radio, it's news, it's traffic, it's, classical, it's old school because they still have old like old school tracks that sound good on a monophone. Yeah. But FM, I'm always weird about because
a lot of ads.
And because you're able to layer multiple frequencies, how do I know you're not subliminally sending me something? You know what I mean? How do I know you're not broadcasting some fucking mindset for the region? So. When I listen to AM, it's usually independent campus radio.
I love
the jazz station out here.
I dig that.
I can't stop listening to it. It's usually my in between from my media button in my car. But AM, I don't think it'll ever go away. FM, I think, is definitely something we need for news and just like being able to broadcast a podcast through like radio. People don't realize how it is cyclical and it is like a big circle. You can, help each other. I don't think it's going out. I think it's maybe getting more refined.
Okay. Well said.
But why throw away a CD if it still works? You know, like I worked for GameStop. They would just throw away.
Because you don't have a CD player anymore, maybe.
Well, that's a good point. Or it stopped working. You don't know how to replace a rubber band, apparently. I mean, like, because really, VHS, VCR, or CD players, most of the time, it's just a rubber band that you have to fucking...
He's MacGyver.
I just watch YouTube, but...
Do you feel like, talking about shit going in circles, you see, like, you know, I felt like years ago in comedy, there was a, not long time, but recently, years ago, there was, like, trends of, like, you know, shorter specials, like, you know, trying to adapt to, like, new technology, whatever, but I feel like, full specials are back, if you will, or popular, like, you know, like longer movies that for a while there was, it was all about binging a show, like 10 episodes of 30 minutes or whatever, but this year the biggest films were 2.5 hour pluses, you know. Mm-hmm. I feel like it's all good, like the shit does come back, people aren't over certain shit.
Well, I mean, you're talking about Scorsese or somebody who's like either put decades into a project or has the funding to keep making these long epics.
Even the dude who directed Poor Things. He's kind of a newer director. That show was like 2.5, 2:45. I had to go review a Hunger Games movie. That was 2 hours and 45 minutes for that kind of shit, you know? So I feel like that's coming back.
How much are you paying for a ticket, though?
I'm not paying to go to that, but I man, 18, 20 bucks probably.
Okay, so 20 bucks?
You want your movie?
Yeah, I mean, imagine if the movie was an hour.
Well, so with the comedy shit, though, like a full hour special or a 30-minute special on YouTube is the shit. But I feel like people were stressing, oh, we got to do these short little clips for social media. I got to do little short shit because everyone's got no attention span. No
more. Right. Yeah. Until they're off of work and they're able to take a drink or sit on a couch or they just ate, so they might pass out to it, but they can finish it later. You know, like people consume at their own rates, but I mean.
If it's good. People will gravitate, I feel like.
Yeah, if it's well-produced, people are going to like it automatically. Yeah. They're going to be like, I like the way this is framed, you know? But they don't say it, they just feel it.
Yeah.
And then if the subject matter and the voice and the editing is cool, then they're going to be like, this is good. And if the audience is into it, then that cues them to be into it. So everybody belongs and everybody's accepted. But if you do some... You know, not back alley shit, but if you like do a club where it sounds like a tunnel or it's too staticky, you know, you're only going to probably be able to take clips out of it and post it to be like, hey, look how good this is as far as a joke. But there's people who literally have either a secondary person filming and zooming in
for specials and shit like that,
for clips, even for Instagram. And yes, other people are just doing, they're just filming a taping. And they're like, okay, we're going to do a special, but before we do a special, we're going to do a dry run at all these clubs. And you're going to get used to filming my bits, filming my act outs. And this is where I do this part, and this is where I do this part. So
so it's like choreographed to a degree.
So like my friend Mike Faverman, he years ago, like maybe 10 or more, probably way more, he did a road documentary where he was just hitting up bit after bit and club after club, and he could show you how he could take one joke and break it down into like 10 different venues, and each part had the same breakdown. But that's how you refine it. How am I going to get better at doing this karate move or whatever? How am I going to do this dance number? How am I going to get better at making an omelet? You got to go through the steps and just make sure the timing is right and the feeling and temperature is right. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
And that guy is a cook too. He has like Pig's Kitchen. He does like cookbook, campground cooking. He does like RV shows for all kinds of places. And he does, you know, major clubs in LA and New York and all this stuff too. But it's like, the point is, you know, being able to show a recipe or show the breakdown or show that you actually are going through the grind and not just like some out of nowhere success, or you know what I mean?
It's, show the how the sausage is made, right?
Right, yeah. Show your work. Show your, you know, one of the hardest things I had in math class was like not just giving you the answer, but showing the work.
Well, they want to know you're not cheating, really.
And exactly, and that's what we need. And I, as much as I resist that in math, it is what we need in comedy. Show your work.
I feel like a comedy special, it's tricky. Like you're doing an album as a musician, right? Whatever you need, however many takes till it's right, or film, like cut, we can do it again, whatever. You've got, what, 2 or 3 times they probably film a comedy special. What if there's a crazy dude in the crowd, or, you know, your voice is cracking, or you're off. You have less opportunity to get your shit right than the music and film. I feel like that.
I think that's why if you the insurance policy of if you're lucky enough to find somebody to help produce and work alongside and get those routines down, because you want it to come off as clean and the first time you've ever said it and really you know perfect angle of the audience, perfect angle of the
laugh reaction.
Yeah, everything. To be able to do that, you have to write not a spec script. You have to write a script of camera direction.
Yeah, yeah.
It's the same as a film.
Or when they film like live concerts for shit.
Yeah. Right. Ugh. But more detailed, because this isn't just the chorus. This is where his eyes open up and his tongue comes out. You know what I mean? Like this is the
setup. This is the punchline. Like, yeah. But the physical comedy plot.
But there are, you know, you got, if you look back, like Richard Pryor or whatever, there are like comedy specials that were filmed as films almost. Yeah. Like, but Richard Pryor, one of his, I can't remember what location, but basically he had to do it twice because he bombed so hard the first taping.
Was he at the same venue?
Yeah, but he had to like refund everybody, and then they came back. I guess
she refunded him. That's nice.
Or whatever. I don't know. But
have you ever had to deal with like a heckler?
Yeah.
Or is that a stupid question? Every comedian has.
No,
that.
It's not a dumb. It's not. No, it's not a stupid question. I am a heckler. I trained.
You're in the crowd.
I trained in heckling. Like I trained. I trained with like the big dogs on how to heckle properly. Like how to heckle to where the audience loves it and the comedian gets it. But no, but a heckler,
like a dickhead dude in the crowd. Yeah.
My favorite thing about hecklers is freedom of speech.
Yeah.
Because if you let them just talk, they hit a wall or
they bury themselves.
Or they're amazing, and you can just turn it into like a chord. I mean, a harmony.
Yeah. But also, if you're good at your craft, I feel like you could flip the situation where it only benefits you and the crowd. You know,
it only benefits. I mean, I guess ultimately it benefits you, but. It really only benefits the crowd.
Yeah.
Like to have a good experience for them. They want to come. They want to cut loose. They want to just lay back. They want to not have to think. Not have to, you know, not have to really deal with shit. But if you catch them or if you make them like start to party or like start to like get in the groove, then you're winning. And if a heckler is not feeling it, somebody's not being seen. Something's not working in their life. And if they need a heckle... Uh-huh. They need something. So in my opinion, I give them something so that way they can have something and figure out if this is where they want to go. But I don't do it in a way where like, you're a piece of shit. Yeah, who's this asshole? Why is he even thinking? I'm like, oh, thank God. I don't have to use a joke right now. I don't have to think of one of my jokes. We get to create something new out of the clay of this person's face.
That's hilarious.
Or whatever. You know what I'm saying? But like something unexpected will happen to them. And it will come full circle, and everybody will be able to win, including them. And now they're accepted and included, and we can call them back, like do a callback later, or they might chime in again, and you might have a better flow, and it's like double Dutch.
So what about, I've seen this a few times, not in person, but like, you know, a YouTuber or a special where a comedian eventually maybe ask the venue or the security or to have the person removed maybe because they're heckling too loud or they're disturbing, ruining everybody else's experience. What do you think about that?
Well, that was my job.
Like in a string case. Oh, you were like...
That was part of my job. Whenever I was a door guy,
I
had to go and like...
I've done security. Got to throw some motherfuckers out.
You got to be cool about it. But I mean, I had to do the same kind of stuff working in casinos at a table. Like somebody cheats at poker or some shit. You got to be nice to them.
How often do you catch people cheating at poker? How do they even think they can? Well, cameras are everywhere,
it wasn't
bro.
Technically poker. It was blackjack.
Either way, I don't know how they get away with that shit.
They constantly tickle their chips, and then one moment they'll either take one out or put one in. So that way they have an extra $100. So they have a negative $20 or whatever. They're just like...
Oh, so here's 10 minutes or like 9.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. So that's why you have to be on the spot. You have to know all the chips ahead of time. Know the when I worked for the casinos, that's what I did. And it's similar to comedy. It's like scanning an audience. Somebody's got a sweater. Somebody's got a hat. Somebody's got a gold chain. Yeah. Somebody's going to have a crazy laugh. Somebody's going to have a girlfriend who's getting upset. You know what I mean? You can just see them in front of you. As long as the light's not blinding you, like at the comedy store, you really can only hear people for the most part until you get like a little bit further up and lean and then see them. But a lot of clubs, the light's right in your face. But you know, it's about listening and observing and absorbing and understanding people and comprehending them. And that's why, you know, with a heckler could be somebody who's just in pain. Heckler could be somebody who's fed up. Heckler could be somebody who got stood up.
Yeah.
You know, or their drink sucked. You know what I mean? It's like, let's find out what's the issue and let's solve his problem. So that way they're not a heckler. They're a happier.
Yeah. I mean, I always appreciate anybody who come off the cuff, off the top, freestyle, like, you know, deal with shit on the spot. I'm not a comedian, but I've dealt with a bunch of that shit, whether radio shows, hosting shit, touring, or just around people and friends. Always able to either have a joke back or how to handle it with poise and not get flustered, not kind of fucking fall off your shit, not know what to do, like unprepared. Oh, what do I? Oh shit, I wasn't ready for this. Like being ready on your feet. And so when I see other people do that, I love it. You know, it's great.
Yeah, that happened to me recently. My buddy had to go to court because he got pulled over for an alleged DUI.
Alleged DUI?
Well, I mean, they didn't really have a reason to pull him over. They didn't have even video footage of the body cam to pull him over, but they said he was swerving, which he wasn't, or at least they couldn't prove.
They love that.
And they pulled him over in front of the lab testing site with the fucking blood test kits and all that shit.
Blood test? They don't just use like the blower?
They did that first, but they didn't find anything.
They draw your blood. That's crazy.
So they were like, you gotta be wasted or something. And he was like, well, I smoked a vape.
Wait, they didn't find it on the blower, so we're gonna stab you and take some blood.
So he interrogated him further and said, hey, you got to be messed up or something. You're swerving. I saw you swerving. He's like, well, maybe. And my friend, so like, he's just like,
maybe
so agreeable.
He
was like, maybe it was from the vape I smoked an hour ago. And it was,
he told her
that. And so they blood test him for weed. That's and then they found weed
in his blood. That could be 20 days ago. Dude.
Exactly. That's which the,
crazy,
when
dude.
We went to court, they even had a specialist who was a criminologist who said that exact thing.
Yeah.
That if you eat an edible, it could show up a month later.
There's no,
but not in. He didn't say you would get high. He said it would be in your blood or whatever.
Yeah,
but that's because of the way fat is freaking.
Cops, dude.
Right. So the lawyer actually was able to find a verdict against the guy, and they didn't even have probable cause to take.
Yeah.
You know, to take him into custody or whatever, but they did anyway because he agreed to.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's the thing. You let them in your house, they can go through your
literally
shit.
Literally consent.
You accept that shit, yeah.
It's vampire consent.
They should teach us that shit in school.
Well, they did. It was called Civics and Free Enterprise.
You had that?
Yeah, I failed them
in
both.
In high school? I
failed them. I feel like freaking OC about this shit. No, I failed both physics and free enterprise, and I passed them both with an A after I retook them because I actually did learn. But I didn't comprehend or absorb it because I ended up getting in trouble in high school and getting arrested and not knowing my rights and dumb shit. And it got dropped or whatever. But I mean, like, I had a decent family. I still do. But I mean, like, I grew up with a decent family who, like, looked out for me. They're like, hey, idiot.
They taught you that shit.
They're like, you're an idiot, basically. And they didn't say it, but they, you know, for a long time it took, you know, even just when I was a kid and I got in trouble in high school, I got banished from my best friend's house because his mom found out way late from the newspaper or some shit. Even though the charges were dropped.
Shit, dude. Yeah, a little more conservative parent, a
different
household. They want to blame you because they can't accept and believe that their kid could do things. Oh no, it's got to be Scott Kid's fault. He influenced my kid. You know, no way would little Jimmy have done this. You're the devil. You're the bad one.
Well, either way, it's not even like they were involved. It's just that they don't want me around because I'm a bad influence at this point. So I mean, like. Yeah, you.
Dude, I got
it.
Grown friends whose wives or girlfriends don't particularly like me being their friend, which is crazy, but whatever.
Well, they're probably attracted to you. Okay. But I mean, whatever.
I like that reason. That's
that,
a good one. Yeah.
I always throw that one out there for myself because it's like
hating on me because of that. I always experiences like through life, like a girl will be a little mean or whatever, or a little like whatever.
Sexually frustrated.
Yeah, either that or you think I'm gonna like that, or
she's mad that she's not allowed to like you because she has a boyfriend.
Yeah, or even. This is going to sound fucked up. Maybe a girl who's not the archetype of the attractive girl in society. Maybe she don't fit the blueprint in that or whatever. Maybe she thinks on some level that, well,
we call
she
that
could never
a,
have him.
We call that a beta babe.
I love it.
I'm just kidding. I just made that up. Yeah.
But yeah, maybe she thinks, oh, what? He wouldn't like me, so I'm going to be mean to him. And maybe he will. I'm like, why are you doing that? That's crazy.
Because women are, well, no offense to women, but you're crazy. Women are crazy. Well, men are crazy, but in a different
crazy,
way.
Yeah.
Men are like uncontrollably insane.
Yeah.
Women are hysterically crazy.
Well said.
So even the word hysterical is from the word hist, Which has to do with the uterus.
Hysterectomy.
Right. So the term hysteria came from a woman who couldn't get an orgasm, I guess. Oh. But like a lot of women can't get orgasms, or they don't reach it vaginally. It's other ways. So like there's all kinds of like backstory of why guys are fucking crazy and why women aren't it.
Yeah. Me and my girl are both uniquely crazy in different ways, you know. And maybe that balances it or whatever. But a different type of crazy, each one of us. And it's cool because we get to see the other crazy, you know, juggle that, get thicker skin or whatever, or just
what is crazy even? My animalistic tendencies don't fit into your freaking structural society. Well, you know, it's like you can't like just drug that or force that or condemn it through religion. You have to like, it's like a heckler, you know, somebody doesn't fit this system.
Way to tie it in, though. Way to tie it in, bro.
I appreciate that. But I mean, like, you got to find a way for everybody to feel accepted, and they won't become the negative, you know. Right?
They shoot up the school because they got bullied
all
the time.
You don't need to be Lex Luthor. You don't need to be the Joker, you know. Like, it's funny how, like, the Joker's the crazy one, Lex Luthor's the rich one, but, like, Lex Luthor isn't friends with Bruce Wayne, like, you know what I mean? Like,
rich people love each other.
They can't get along. Like, Bruce Wayne's whole family was murdered except for his, you know, pedo friggin' Alfred or whatever. But
I used to love Alfred.
I'm just joking around. I literally listen to old episodes of the Adam West Batman on Spotify because sometimes I run out of ideas of what to listen to, and it's like, tune in next time. And it's pretty great. It also makes me appreciate how can you write a TV series that's so good that you can just listen to it.
That's actually kind of wild that you do that. I used to listen to baseball, which is weird. People think very boring. I like to listen to
the
baseball.
You can hear the crack of the bat.
But yeah, I mean, back in the day before TVs, right? They listen to shit, right? War of the Worlds or whatever, right? So
that's a crazy example. That's going true. Back to crazy. Hey, yeah, my son.
It's funny also, what you and I are talking about it as crazy is like, it's wild behavior. But if you ever know or meet somebody who's really crazy, you know, maybe they have a disorder, the state has deemed them crazy, or you know, maybe you're schizophrenic, whatever it is, like that's a different level of crazy. That's not like I'm spazzing out or I have, you know, weird issues with this relationship or whatever.
I think it's compounded. I think it's like we were saying, I don't know if it was when we were recording or just talking earlier, but like if you're layering audio or layering a video file, you know, like if I just take a video of my family and they're, you know, posing for a picture or whatever, that's like a home video. A
lot of ingredients in the pot, right?
But if you put the background as like Chernobyl or some shit and the foreground as a bunch of soldiers with bayonets, you know, it's like you start to layer it and see like the actual damage or the, you know, the conflict involved. You see, maybe, well, this person was not only prescribed stuff, but they were also on other shit. And
rough
then
childhood.
They got off of one and went more into the other. Also, they were like, you know, tortured or mistreated as a child or an adult or in a, you know, some capacity. It's like
some kind of isolation in their life.
Right. Or they
distort your vision of the greater society.
Misinterpreted and put into a freaking special class. And then they were molested by their freaking priest or some shit. You know, it's like there's a bunch of shit. So that's why, you know, social work is good. I like that we have that stuff, but it's like, it's really tough to expect one human to be able to fix all the problems of another person. So whenever someone comes in as a conflict, you know, how do we embrace them and not just erase them?
Yeah.
You know, it's crazy, but it's stuff we're dealing with right now, even just migrants and, you know, international policies and stuff. And I try to just avoid all.
I gotta take breaks from a lot of shit because sometimes you know, consuming too much shit like that. Like I deal with like, you know, depression here and there. This kind of shit. You could be like, people might criticize you, like, how are you gonna tune out? How are you not gonna pay attention to this? Because it's a matter of like maybe like life and death, or like, you know, me really not functioning at all because it's too much. It overwhelms me. So I take, you know, breaks from some shit like that, you know?
Yeah, it's called capacity.
Yeah, and it doesn't make you void of apathy, or it doesn't make you apathetic, void of empathy or emotion or even understanding. It's just, you know, I gotta chill a little bit.
Yeah.
Focus on me. Watch a comedy, do some writing, surf, whatever, you know?
I'm not a big fan of the half full, half empty analogy, but I am a fan of the filling your cup in general. Like if your cup is full and you know
Yeah.
If you have to steam it out or freeze it out or just let it chill and still, yeah. you know, whatever. But just remember, we all are water. You know yeah. what I mean? We all are reactive to consciousness. And we, just like they said about the thing of water where it's crystalline when you're nice to it and it's shit when you're shit to it, just like Ghostbusters Part 2. Like, the point is we're all water. You know, we're all part of that. So when you take on somebody's shit, you might have to shit it out, you know, yeah. like you're taking on their shit. So how do you cleanse and bounce back and stay in a higher vibration or yeah. whatever, you know?
But every glass looks half empty when you're thirsty too, you know? So
That's interesting. Actually, no, it depends. It might look half full because you're dying, you know? Like, it's about gratitude, but it's also true. About, you know, not taking it for granted, I guess. But we all do it. You know, I try to forgive myself as much as I can so that way.
That's a tough one for a lot of people. And I feel like a lot of people in the arts, creative shit, we use the arts to channel these shits we go through, you know, process, whatever. But it might still not let you forgive yourself for them. You can write a song about it, a movie, a joke, whatever. But to actually forgive yourself is tough. And I feel like I learned that to forgive other people for maybe some shit they did to me, it's not about me forgiving them for them as much as it's for me to get that shit off my back. Mm-hmm. I forgave them so I don't carry that shit around. And it helps me forgive myself for shit, not beating yourself up too much. Artists do love to beat ourselves up.
Right, because we're creative inherently, so we have to destroy something at some point. Yeah. But also, like, you know, in order to forgive other people, you should forgive yourself because you have to first forgive yourself for getting upset.
Yeah,
because I had one girlfriend I dated. She, you know, it's funny how many relationships I have where I learned something from my significant other. But one was telling me how like not to react to every like emotionally. There's emotions, there's reactions, there's feelings, and there's emotions. It's like how to it's not react to something that. You can basically anticipate it, but also like if somebody comes at you, just don't always take the lashing as, you know, a beating. You know what I mean?
That's smart. That's great advice, actually.
It's weird wording, but yeah. I want to know something before we go.
Yeah, please.
Because I'm not sure how much time we have left.
Yeah, ask me or ask.
How much time do we have left?
We'll wrap up pretty soon, but yeah, bring it in there.
All right, you mentioned Slayer earlier.
Yeah.
When I first met you, I think you mentioned something about Slayer. What's your experience?
I used to work with them for like 5 years.
What'd you do with them?
I was like a roadie on tour, so I did like VIP security coordination. So, you know, between a stage and the crowd, there's like that little like barricaded moat at a big... I'd bring like the photographers, video dudes in there, make sure like, you know, nothing happened to them. Watch out for like the wives, the girlfriends, the important people be by the stage. Fucking someone who spends $1,000 to meet the band and get an autograph, shake the hands, wriggle all those dudes up. Talk with the each venue security about, you know, this pass is all good. This is all access. This is a guest pass. This can't do anything. Don't let these guys in. We need security at these doors at this time and over here, like shit like that. And about like 5 years, I worked for other artists and bands too, but they were my mainstay, my regular. So for like five and a half years toured the world with those guys. And it's funny because I wasn't like a heavy metal fan because of being a skater. I did like Slayer, Maiden, Black Sabbath, but I got thrown into this whole world of metal and shit. And I toured for years with those guys. Awesome dudes, fucking the best.
Okay, two questions. First one. Just quickly list some of the other artists that you work with.
Slayer, Lamb of God, Exodus, DJ Snake, Christine and the Queens, Seether, Disturbed. Shit, there's more. Armand.
That's good. That's good.
Yeah, okay.
So second question, where was that? You said you went worldwide with
all over
Slayer.
Here.
What was one or two of the worst or craziest fucking places that you've been?
There was like cities and places I hated, but for crazy shows, we were in Baltimore. There's an outdoor amphitheater right on the water, but it's covered, but it's open air. It's pouring rain out, right? We had a show at the Garden in New York the day before. I had food poisoning, had to work through it. Coming off that, it's raining outside, but it's covered. A lot of crazy fans, right? Small stage. I had like these eight fans who wanted to, they had to stand down at the bottom of the stage and had a security guard from the venue watching them. And I'm up on the actual stage by the stage right guitarist, and I'm crouched down, you know, protective stance, but these guys can't fit there. One of these fan dudes got his shirt off, got to be on meth, eyes wide, he's flying, he's kind of jacked. The security guard is down there watching him, and, you know, they're watching the show from not the crowd, like a little private area. You know, a couple songs in, he just makes a break for it, runs up like this little six stair. He could have grabbed the guitar, dude. I don't know what he was going to do. I Goldberg, like wrestling, WCW, like leaped off the fucking stage, tackled his ass. He didn't feel nothing. He was all good. But the local security guy was like, oh shit, like, do you want me to throw him out? I'm like, yeah, I want you to fucking throw him out, dude. Like, this guy just knocked your ass down and jumped up here. So that was a little crazy because I also wanted to throw up and shit all day. I was like holding it in, food poisoning me. It was terrible. So that was a little crazy. We did, what was it called?
So would you call that wretched? Attribution? I don't know how to say that word. I'm trying to create a pun there. Retribution. Yeah, I don't know. Whatever.
That was a wild one.
It was a leap. But okay, so you speared somebody, Goldberg style. Yeah. And not the hockey goalie from the Mighty Ducks, but Bill Goldberg.
Yeah, Bill Goldberg,
who I think was a football player or something.
Yeah. Big ears. He had big ears.
Like the easiest person to beat everybody with in Nintendo 64's WCW Revenge. But
hilarious.
But yeah, so you spear this guy in Baltimore. I said anywhere in the world, you say Baltimore.
That was a wild one.
Was this during, what year was that?
2018 maybe.
Okay, wow. So pre-pandemic.
And then, we did a Wembley Stadium in London. Sold that shit out, right? That's a big venue, whatever. My job is done a little earlier. Everyone's like doing loadout, right? The concert's over. I walk. I want to get some food. I want to walk around, whatever. I leave. I got my radio, my tour radio on or whatever. It's not going to pick up shit out there, but whatever. I go to this modern Indian restaurant. Great food. Cool little like DJ setup. I'm walking back to the venue, and some guy kind of like approaches me, starts talking, like talking some shit, whatever. This is an away game, dude. I got nobody with me. I'm in another country. Like, you don't really talk shit, but he's kind of being funny. Then he hears my radio make a noise, and he thinks I'm a cop at first, but then he realizes I'm not dressed like one. And then he, you know, I talk a little shit back, but I got to be careful. Then he gets, like, two other dudes come out of a restaurant or a bar or whatever. So I got to deal with that. I don't get in a fight. I get away from it without having to fight.
What do you mean
I'm not
talking
trying to get
shit?
Stabbed.
They're just like tipsy and they're like
tipsy. I don't know, but they were just talking a bunch of shit. Thick ass
British.
But yeah, and they know I'm not obviously, but they were trying to follow me, so I walked back towards them to not look scared. But I was like, yeah, what am I gonna do? I also got to get back and get on the fucking bus and drive to Manchester. But so I get out of that without getting, you know, in any shit. Which, if it was maybe somewhere else, I wouldn't have. But I'm like, I can't fight, but I don't want to look like a bitch. Also, they were following me, so I had to like make them try to not follow me. And then I don't know how I lost them, but I feel like the other guys that came out did think I was actually a cop because of the radio, so it worked in my favor. And then I got back to the bus just in time, and they were all like, where the fuck were you? What are you doing? I was like, dude, they have got no guns. I was like, shit, I might got stabbed by fucking three dudes with bad teeth. So that wasn't that crazy, but it was because I was out in the cut.
Where was that?
London. Wembley Stadium. It's big. Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so.
It was just crazy because it was a great show, like a big moment. And it ended shitty, like, because I was like, fuck, man.
Well, you were in the loadout. You're just trying to take a load off.
Yeah, exactly.
And then you know.
I probably could have given you a better crazy one. But yeah, those are two.
Okay,
just
give me one more. Just tell me the shittiest country you've been to that had to do with slaves.
Shittiest country?
Well, I'm not trying to talk shit on you. I'm not trying to hate on you. I'm just saying, like, worst conditions. Because I just a side note, I am technically level five I'm group five in the local 33.
Italy, right? They have tough union laws. Everybody, if you go on the stage floor or the stage, you got to wear a hard hat, like it's a construction site, right? And it's known that, no disrespect, but all the locals won't do shit. You literally have to crack a whip. Lazy as fuck. Like the show barely will go on. It's like pulling teeth, and you got to wear the hard hat, and everybody's smoking inside, and it was oddly like pouring rain out there, and it was like, I did not think we were going to have a show. It was terrible, dude. It was so rough, dude.
Wait,
even the local venue staff didn't want to do shit, dude.
What was the venue? What was the actual?
It was in Milan.
What was the type of
arena? An arena, like a smaller arena, maybe
a dome, a bowl.
A bowl that could have probably been like 20,000-25,000.
So raining in the arena.
No, that's outside. But we got to go back and forth to the truck, the bus, cold and rainy for Italy, a lot of cigarette smoke inside, nobody's working, hard hats everywhere.
Yeah, I mean, I worked the hurricane this past year, or was it this year? Or was it last year? It was here. There was a hurricane here.
Oh, yeah. I remember.
And then I had to take for, it was like 16 hours of actual being there, maybe 14 hours of nonstop hard labor.
Yeah.
We're peeling the fucking flooring off of the Rose Bowl.
Oh, brutal.
The day after a hurricane. You're talking about like
that's two feet
of sewage, like 2 feet of mud that's wet and mixed with fertilizer for 16 hours.
So it stunk like shit.
It was terrible. But I get the nonsense and the rain and the arena shit. But my question is, does Slayer like when it rains? Because it's one of their songs. You know what I mean? Raining blood.
Yeah.
How often were you working where it was raining?
Indoors don't matter. At outdoor venues in America, at least, even if it's like an amphitheater where it's covered but it's open air, if there's rain, whatever. If there's thunder or lightning, there's these laws in America, concerts, where if there's lightning, they have to wait, I was like 8 or 10 minutes between strikes. So if there's another lightning strike in that time period, they have to wait again, and then if there's like, it doesn't change for like, you know, four times, they got to cancel it because it you know, everyone get fried, you know, it'll be a mess. Rain, whatever, people get sloppy, wet, muddy, but they can't do it because of the electricity, so they got to be careful because of that and push shit back, delayed, then you get out of there late.
This time I thought that the reason why Slayer didn't go to the Cajun Dome was because of fucking country music and all the other shit that's always there.
We played Louisiana a few times. I mean, all over.
Which part?
New Orleans, what's it called? Baton Rouge and Shreveport. There's like arena in Shreveport. No.
That's the Cajun Dome. So there's a Superdome.
I might have been there with a Disturbed, though. Like a little like hockey arena type shit. Yeah, but don't judge me, bro. It was a paycheck, bro.
What's your best Disturbed impression?
Bro, I didn't even know who they were till I got the tour. I had no idea. Never heard of them.
When?
2016, 17. I'd never heard of them. 2016, you never heard of them.
What year you graduated high school?
2000. Nobody I hung out with listened to that. So
all right, I guess so.
I was blown away they were selling out arenas.
But you know Godsmack.
They're Boston, that's why.
Oh, that's hilarious.
I don't listen to them, but
that's a shot in the dark there.
I'm going to know randomly, though. Yeah.
So you don't know Disturbed. I had to work for Linkin Park for like, I don't know how many concerts. I got so much merch that I just gave away.
Sell that, bootleg that shit.
I just threw it towards whoever was catching it. I was never a fan, and they came out right whenever I was like, not only a senior in high school, but also right whenever I was really getting into Iron Maiden and stuff.
Yeah,
so like,
Maiden, baby. Hell yeah.
So like Iron Maiden's kind of...
I like Maiden.
They're not soft, but they're like almost altruistic in their storytelling of terror. And people always are like, I expected it to be more hardcore.
No, very operatic.
And they're definitely... they're like real musicians. Yeah. But I mean, Linkin Park, they're not bad at all. They're actually pretty brilliant, but... When I was in college, there was this one roommate in the dorms who came up to me and he was like, yeah, and he was this, you know, light-skinned black guy or whatever. I was in Louisiana, it's the South. There's like still a division or whatever, but everybody's chill. And he was just trying to relate and be like, hey, I love this song by Linkin Park. You know, it's in the end, nothing ever matters or whatever the song. In the end, it doesn't really matter, whatever the fuck. And he's like, that's really deep, you know, because it doesn't really matter. I'm like, how is that deep? You know, like. How he's saying it to you. He's not giving you an analogy.
Yeah,
he's not
a metaphor. Yeah.
There's no
deep is the worst. Dude.
There's no imagery. Like how
deep is the worst.
Am I revealing that my friend is basic as fuck right now? Like what am I experiencing right now? You know? And then I play Iron Maiden for him and they're like, oh, that sounds like video game music. And I'm like, okay, you're probably right. Fuck it.
Yo, if you're going to sell any merch, bootleg it, the Iron Maiden merch is, that's where it's at. That's the money.
I didn't even think. I've seen him once in the big fucking arena. I think it was San Bernardino or something.
Oh, out there? Shit.
It was great. It was, I was, you know, tearing up. But yeah, I mean, like, it's crazy how much heavy metal from the 80s comes off as gay.
Yo,